Beast OCR proudly presents BeastNet Podcast, sponsored in part by GH Under's performance-based layers and supported by the OCR community. Here we discuss all things OCR related. Welcome to BeastNet.
Hey everybody, it's Mike here for BeastNet. I'm here with Sarah Knight. And for those that have never met Sarah or don't know Sarah, you should. How are you doing, Sarah?
I'm doing awesome.
Right on. So, I mean, for those that don't know you or haven't met you, kind of give us a quick, or not even, doesn't have to be quick, a quick synopsis of who you are.
Sure. So I have been with the Beast team for a couple years now. I was on the Beast Elite team last year and the year before. Accolades to my name include second place at World's Toughest Mudder, second place at America's Toughest Mudder, and second place at Europe's Toughest Mudder, and sixth place at Spartan World Championship, as well as some, you know, random first and second place podiums in third place.
Yeah.
But I have been doing obstacle racing for 3 years seriously, and I loved it so much that I moved to get some property and built my own obstacle course and had people train on it with me until I lost that property recently. So now I'm just training again in the woods and rebuilding this year after a overuse injury from last year.
Yeah. I know you got injured last year. My first introduction really to Sarah, I kind of knew who you were, but the first time I really kind of met you was Hawaii in 2016.
Hawaii was so much fun.
And for those that don't know, I've said it repeatedly, Sarah is the one who, like, did a full trifecta in the time it took me to do a super.
Unofficially, I did all three, the Beast, the Super, and then the Sprint back-to-back at Hawaii.
Yeah. And it was like, I finished the super and come in, I'm like, yay, I've got my medal. And there's Sarah standing there with all three around her neck. And I'm like, you didn't have any of those this morning. Where did, what happened here? So, I mean, it was awesome. I mean, that was a time, because I think you raced, because you didn't race Saturday. Sunday you raced because you raced competitively on the Beast, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, and you won.
I wanted to get it all out there.
You won.
I won the Beast by hour, I think, with my second place competitor.
Yeah, and if I remember right, there was only one guy that had a faster time than you.
So
I mean, if that doesn't give you an idea of her athleticism, I mean, an hour ahead of the next person, the next female competitor, that's amazing, you know. And then to turn around and literally, because you were waiting for all of us anyway, to go do the super and the sprint too, was just, yeah. I mean,
so much fun. I gotta do it again, for sure.
Doing a trifecta in a weekend is amazing. Doing one in the same day is just like, what? And you can't do it now. Now you can't because they only have the Beast on Saturday.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes things tricky because I have to go to Greece and do the trifecta, huh?
Yep. I mean, you can do the trifecta in a weekend. They have the Beast Saturday, then you can do the super and the sprint on Sunday, which is my plan this year.
Sure.
But you can't do like you did and just do them all in one shot. Not that I could ever. I mean, eventually I might be that fast, but I doubt it.
Yeah. It's essentially a culture.
Yeah. Oh, you're breaking up there a little bit. There you go.
So
yeah.
I'm backing up to my router.
So, what other things? I mean, I know, you know, like I said, I met you really in 2016. And then I think 2017, you were more, instead of Spartan, you did more Tough Mudder, correct?
Tough Mudder, yeah. I specialized in their 8-hour toughest series, going from midnight to 8 in the morning. And I did West Coast, and I placed second. And then I went over to Europe and placed second. Oh, in between that was Georgia's, but I had stomach issues, so I placed fifth. And then I went to Europe. And then that was pretty much back-to-back-to-back 8-hour races, and my body wasn't ready for that. And when I was in Europe, I got IT band syndrome really bad, and then I decided to keep going because I wanted to do all of them, all six of them. I was only one of four people who did all six of them last year. be Philly the next weekend after Europe and just tore up my IT band even more and then added an Achilles injury to that because I was overcompensating. So I messed myself up really bad and, yeah, learned my lesson for sure.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, you know, I've talked about on other episodes of that's kind of the mentality that a lot of us have is just push through it, push through the pain, keep going, and we end up hurting ourselves even more. It's either push through the pain or I need to get back out there, and we get out too early and end up, you know, we're not healed. We're not, our body's not ready, and our body's usually pretty quick to tell us that, hey, you weren't ready.
Extremely true, yeah.
Yeah,
and it's been hard mentally to put on those brakes this year. Got signed on with the Spartan Select team, and I've just been taking it easy. I haven't even done a beast yet, just so I can not put that many mileage on me until my body, I know I'm ready for it.
Yeah, so, and I know I saw you, what, a month or so ago at the terrain race?
Right, yeah.
And you took first then.
Yeah, I still got my speed a little.
A little bit. And it was one of those things that I can remember because I saw you. It must be, I think it was about the halfway point or so. And there was someone told me there was someone right in front of you. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then you ended up crossing and you didn't see another racer for a while. And
yeah, probably 5 minutes or so. So
yeah.
I knew blasting out of those starting gates, I had the lead for the first like 200 meters or so. And then this chick just passed me with fury. I'm just like, okay, we'll let her run out and see how she does on obstacles. And by the first, by the yoke carry, she was just gassed.
Yeah.
So it was pretty easy to overtake. I had to make sure I had a clean race.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that's really interesting. A lot of people, you know, having an obstacle course race is you get a lot of runners who are like, oh, I can do this. And they get out there and they blow it out in the running. And then all of a sudden when they have to stop doing an obstacle, it just destroys them because they're not, that's not what they train for. They train to run, you know.
Yeah.
And obstacle course racing is different.
System.
Yeah. So different, you know. And I mean, it was great to see. I mean, when I saw your terrain race and you said you were feeling pretty good after that, right?
Yeah. All ligaments and knees and ankles are feeling up to par. And I'm so relieved, finally. It's been a year. May of last year was when I first got the injury, and I've just been battling with it. You know, better a little bit, and then worse, and then a little bit better again. Like, it was 2 steps backwards, felt like, all the time.
Yeah, and I know, because I saw you in Montana, and I know you had said that you were worried about it, but I didn't get to see you after the race in Montana, so, yeah.
Yeah, well Montana, that was a funny one, because I couldn't do any of the hanging obstacles. Because my
That's
first
right.
race back this year was actually
your finger.
Yeah, and I got my finger caught
That's
in
right.
the chain in Olympus. And so it's still a little bit crooked. I'm pretty sure it's going to be crooked for the rest of my life.
Probably.
But, yeah. So now I can put my full weight on it and I can grip. It is a little, I know my right hand is a little bit weaker grip than my left hand for sure. So I always try and lead with that weaker hand so that I can have my left hand be my stability grip.
Nice. Yeah, because I know Montana, mainly I remember you in Montana because of your kids, are adorable, so.
Oh, my gosh, my daughter's first time on the 1 mile, she's 7, and it was just a killer. They took the kids up the big, like, sandbag carry hill from 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And just straight up with sandbags, these little kids, and just, like, it's no problem. The key part was, like, the parents couldn't quite get up to the sandbag carry where the kids were, so they had to be on their own, and sometimes that's kind of better, because if mom and dad are standing there watching, they're like, oh, I can't do it.
Yeah.
But if they're on their own, and they somehow manage to find the strength, which is really cool.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, because, yeah, like I said, your kids are adorable. Your daughter, and then I know your son, I can remember, because he was walking around with his shoe untied, just kind of looking at everyone funny, and I'm like, do you need me to tie that for you?
Yeah, they do. They love the obstacle racing as well, so it's fun to take them. I wish I could take them on my longer journeys.
Yeah.
But extra plane tickets, I can barely afford it for myself.
Yeah. And I mean, oh yeah, that's the thing too, is, I mean, people like you that do like the big traveling, I mean, people don't realize that most time, unless you're like one of the top sponsored athletes, nobody's paying for that but you.
Right. Yeah. So I live off of my little award money, you know, like little $200 here, $500 there, and I collect it up so I can get a plane ticket for a big race. Yeah. And, that's the hard part, is zero net is the goal, but usually, yeah, it's in the hole. I'm paying for most of my travel, for sure.
Oh, yeah. And that's got to be the hard part. I mean, some people know I do comedy on the side. That's another one of my little side things. And that's how that is. You know, I've had friends that are like, you should go, you know, pro and everything like that. And I'm like, I've seen what happens. I've seen what people do. It's, you know, one month they make $3,000 doing comedy. The next month they make a cheeseburger and a couple drinks. I mean, it's
right. Yeah.
It's so inconsistent. Like, for people who have, you know, kids, I mean, it's even tougher, because I mean, when you're on your own, and I know this sounds bad, when it's just you, it's okay to have to live in your car for your art or for your, you know, for your dream. But when there's kids with you, it makes it a little different, you know, and that's kind of, yeah.
That quality of life, it definitely needs to be higher for kids.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And your kids are adorable. Once again, I'm just, yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, I love them.
So I know you said that, you know, you lost the one property that you had, and I know you're still up north in.
Yeah, I'm here in Cedro, in a little town called Hamilton right now.
Okay.
And yeah, so lots of fun trails for me to explore, which is nice, but a long drive to anywhere to make money and stuff like that. So that's the tough part.
Yeah. So, I know, I think I drove by there on Tuesday. I went to Mount Vernon on Tuesday, so.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty.
It is. It's a gorgeous area up there. But like you said, that's the hard part, is, anything like making money-wise is like, even a normal job isn't that close.
Right.
Yikes. So what's the future got for you? What are your plans coming up?
So I have, like, swallowed my pride a bit and just set really achievable goals this year so that I can rebuild for my big return next year. This year, I'm going to go to Spartan World Championships because I'm contracted to do so. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to stay local. I'll be at Washougal. Gonna do a Ragnar. I'm gonna do Renegade Rage. Nice. And I'm trying to think. I think I'm making it to Utah as well. So that would be one of the bigger ones. That's actually one of the national championships here as well for Spartan.
Nice.
But really excited to go back to Renegade Rage. That's one of my favorite local ones for sure.
I don't think I've ever done that one. I'm going to have to look that one up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's the one in Pasco area.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's just good obstacles. I mean, it's flat, but it's fun because it's really hot over there, and they're taking it in and out of water all the time.
Yeah.
It's really fun. Yeah.
Because that's one of the things that honestly, I mean, drives me nuts about the Seattle Spartan races.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many different things in Washington. So many different, like, stuff. I mean, we've got mountains in Washington, and
that's really what they should take advantage of, is the mountains here. Yeah, I agree.
And the Seattle race is just so flat.
Mm-hmm.
And it just drives me. Yeah. I mean, in April,
especially when Spartan did Chicago, and they had better mud, so Seattle can't even claim to fame, can't even be mud. It has to be a mountain.
Yeah, and I mean, my thought has always been they should do it somewhere like Wenatchee or Yakima, where you can get those nice big roll. I mean, in Yakima, you got some nice big hills. I was over there a couple months ago, and I'm looking out there where they have like the National Guard area and stuff. I'm like, that would be such an amazing place for a Spartan, because one, you're going to confuse people because they're coming to Washington.
Right.
So they're going to think, oh, it's going to be either mountains or forests or whatever. And then you take them out into Yakima where it's a desert with big ass hills, and they're going to be like, what is this?
Yep.
And I think it would be awesome. Out there in Yakima would just be amazing, because they have that terrain that is just it's unforgiving. I mean, you got the hills, you've got, you know, you could even go out like towards George where you got the, you know, the huge gorge and the river. And I mean, there's so many different areas of Washington that would be so much better than where they do it. In April, cool, yeah, it gives you the Washington that everyone expects. It gives you the mud, it gives you the wet, it gives you the nasty. But then I think they need to come back, and I think the one that they do in, you know, September, October, that needs to be on the other side of the mountains in eastern Washington. And I, like I said, I think it would throw so many people off because they'd be like, oh, it's Washington. It's green. It's the evergreen state. Yeah, go to the east side. That's the west side of the mountains. You go to the east side, it's a completely different nightmare. So.
Exactly. I like it.
Oh, yeah. And that's been one of the things that just drives me nuts in Washington. Every time it's like, we have so much you could work with, you know. Mm-hmm. And then it's just like the flattest, you know. I mean, the beast in Seattle, I'm pretty sure I think my time was only 10 minutes slower or it was faster for the beast than the super.
That's funny.
Because the beast was so flat, so dry, and so easy compared to the muddy, nasty, the muddy nastiness of the April race. So, yeah. I really think they need to do one on the east side of the mountains, and I think that would be awesome. I think it would compare to like Boise and stuff like that, which I've never been able to make it to the Boise race just because it's.
I just came back from it. That one surprised the heck out of me.
I've heard it was a good one.
I had no idea it was the hills that there were.
Yeah.
And I gassed out. I completely bonked on a sprint, which I've never done before as well. So yeah, I'm not. Definitely not up there on my training where I want to be. I came in 11th, just completely gassed and took a lot out of me. But those hills are no joke. I've never had a steeper up and down sprint because usually I can pass people on the downhill, but the downhills are so steep that it's pretty much just, you know, single file.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what I've heard about. I've wanted to do Boise, but it just seems like, for me, it's always one of those things, and this sounds horrible, but usually Montana destroys me.
Yeah.
I've come out.
I like the Montana hills because, like I said, I can open up on the downhill.
Yeah.
But, and it's in the woods. That's nice for me too.
Yeah. And I think, but for me, Montana, I mean, Montana literally destroys me. I have not come out of Montana without an injury yet.
Oh.
So it's like, for me, it's like Montana's it for me. That's my trifecta for my first trifecta for the year. And then usually I don't do any Spartans until Washougal. So that
gotcha.
I can.
Yeah, I need some healing, huh?
Yeah, so I can have that time to heal. Because this year in Montana, I dislocated my shoulder again, which it just does that.
Yeah.
But I gave myself a hernia.
You did what?
I gave myself a hernia.
Oh, a hernia? Really?
Yeah.
Picking up something?
Yeah. It had to have been one of the lifts. I mean, so it was one of those things because it was kind of, I don't remember when it happened or how, but the only thing I can think of is it had to have been in Montana because it wasn't, there's no way I could have done Montana if it was already there because it was, yeah.
Right.
Because even just doing the terrain race with it was painful. And I'm like, there's no way I could have done the Montana if it was still there. But I had it fixed.
Right.
That's part of this year. I had the hernia fixed 3 weeks ago, pretty much like the week after terrain race.
Yeah.
So it's like, there's my healing for this year. I've got to heal from, you know, hernia surgery before I can do Washougal. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So that's been.
It comes quick.
Yeah. And that's been my biggest problem is that every year, for whatever reason, I think I'm ready. I do okay in Vegas. I do okay. I think I'm fine. I do fine in Seattle. No injuries, no anything. I go and do Montana and something happens.
Man, bad luck in Montana, huh?
Yeah, and this is like my fourth year doing it, so. And it's, you know, yeah, last year I tore a muscle in my pec. I tore my pec, one of my pectoral muscles and my bicep. So, I mean, I don't know if you were there last year, but like after the beast, the next morning I got up and I'm like, I think I might do the sprint. And I like look down and my right boob is like twice the size of my left. And I'm like, yeah, maybe not. Maybe not.
Oh, maybe not. Yeah. Oh, no.
So, Montana, for whatever, I love Montana. I do it every year because it was my first race was Montana. That's how I started in Spartan.
Yeah, yeah.
I did the beast, you know, in 2015. So I've always got to go, but it's like every time I do something stupid, something happens and I'm like, seriously? Yeah. Oh, so
definitely be crossing my fingers for you this next year.
I think this next year, one of my big pushes this year has been training. I'm trying to, it's not obvious looking at me, but there's been training going on. I'm trying to get better and I need to get back to where I was before I broke my foot. When I broke my foot, you know, in 2016, I lost a lot of training and I've had major issues where because my foot isn't the same as it was, I mean, and it never will be, my stride's wrong. I don't have the same stride. I don't have the same gait. I don't have any of that. So when I try to run, I keep getting severe pain in my back.
Oh, yeah. Your body's compensating and trying to use different muscles.
Exactly. Sure. So I'm trying to find a way where I can train and get myself back where I'm not getting that horrible, horrible pain. And that's where I'm running into. Because, I mean, it gets bad. I mean, like really bad pain in my lower back. And so I'm trying to come back from that, and that's been my hardest part is getting the figuring out how to do that run correctly. So,
gotcha. Have you had your run analyzed at all by anybody?
I have, and part of the problem that I have is, and the doctor said it would be an issue, was because of where I broke my foot. I don't have the push off that you get when you run. It's pretty much doesn't exist in my left foot. My foot doesn't.
Is there something you could like rebuild by doing like calf raises or something?
Kind of, but they said I'm never going to quite get that same bounce because just where my foot broke, it's not the muscle, or not the muscle, but the joint doesn't move the right way anymore. And there's really, he's like, there's really nothing you can do but figure out how to train around it. So that's been my, so it's, you know, as you get older and you get injuries, it's like, well, I got to figure this one out. So, and that's been my big issue is trying to figure it out. And part of my problem too is when I got injured, I didn't, you know, and I've talked about it before, is I didn't find a way to keep working on my exercising. I didn't, you know, I did the old thing of, well, my foot's broke. Guess I better sit on the couch and eat potato chips.
Right.
So I gained a bunch of weight back. So on top of the fact that I can't run correctly, I've gained a lot of my weight back. And it's like, so now I'm not only am I dealing with a problem with my foot, I'm dealing with my knees because now I have too much weight on my legs and on my knees. And, you know, I'm back to that. The excess of weight that I worked so hard to get rid of. So, yeah.
That's,
so
that's a tough struggle for sure.
And it's a snowball effect. And I mean, a lot of it comes from my own bad decisions, but now I've just got to figure out how to make those, to fix those decisions and do it better. So.
Right. You'll figure it out.
Oh yeah.
You got enough determination and, you know, it's always on your mind.
Yep.
So something's going to budge.
Oh yeah. And it's just one of those things. It's like today I, you know, for work, we had a golf tournament, and according to my Fitbit, I've walked like 18,000 steps today, and my foot's just killing me. Partly because
walking,
just walking. Well, part of it too is because I wasn't wearing shoes that I would wear like for a mud run or anything like that because I was at work at events. So I was wearing a different pair of shoes than I would normally wear to walk that much. So it was, you know, I had the wrong footwear on, and now my foot's just like, it's angry. So
angry.
Yeah. So it's just, you know, one of those things. And I mean, you know, like, you know, you've had minor injuries trying to, or not minor, I mean, they're actually pretty major injuries that you had to come back from and stuff like that, that you're still working at. And I mean, that's kind of, that's the hard part, I think, in what we do.
Yes, it is. It's hard to come back from it, especially when you know how much you love running the races and just being out there and the joy that comes from that, that like adrenaline rush, that dopamine. And you're so happy to be out there, but definitely overrides any fear of getting hurt again. But at the same time, like the more you get hurt, the more you can't do that anymore. So you're battling with yourself.
Oh yeah, no, it's so true. And I mean, you've seen it, and I've seen it too, where you've seen people that were doing great at the sport, you know, at any sport, and they had some injury that just it destroyed them mentally. Not just physically, but destroyed them mentally to a point where they didn't come back. Not because the injury was bad enough. It was more because mentally it broke them. You know, they were like, oh, I'm screwed. And then they can't get over the, you know, well, oh, I don't want to redo it. And they just never completely come back. And I've seen a lot of people do that. And I mean, I made that mistake when I was younger, when I first blew my knee, you know, I quit everything. Right. I was a mountain biker. I played tennis. I played racquetball. I was a snowboarder. I had all these things that I did, and I blew my knee, and I quit all of it.
Oh, man, yeah.
You know, partly, I mean.
You get, like, the phantom pain, too.
Yes.
You're just like, oh, is something coming back? I don't want it to come back, kind of deal, and you get scared.
Yeah, and you get the phantom pains, and you get the worry of, like, you know, in tennis, you've got to move those quick movements and quick stops, or is my knee going to handle it? Or is it going to give out, and I'm going to blow it out again, and then I'm back on the crutches and surgery and physical therapy for 2 years again. I'm like, oh, I don't want that. And so you just kind of quit. You know, it's I've got a snowboard in the garage that literally I've moved twice now and never used again, that was brand new, freshly sharpened wax, brand new bindings, brand new boots, everything that have never been used, because I bought them 2 days before I blew my knee. And I never used them. Yeah, because I was so afraid of going up there and doing the wrong twist while I was snowboarding and watching my knee go out again. You know, and that's the hard part about coming back from an injury, is getting over the mental of, am I going to do it again?
Right.
You know, how do you deal with those kind of...
So, yeah, the mental was hard for me as well. And I do have this phantom pain and whatnot. But it was, for me, running has always been my stress relief. And so it was a negative cycle for me, just emotionally, mentally, to not be running, to not be out on the trail.
Yeah.
So I had to, like, I substituted for biking sometimes. That wasn't cutting it. Just going out on hikes with my kids, that they'd be faster than me. It was sometimes hard for that. But I knew, and I still know, that is my favorite thing to do, is be out on a trail, whether I am slow or fast or whatever. So just getting out there and experiencing it is just kind of my medicine, and eventually getting faster and getting stronger. And luckily enough, I also work in a gym, so getting my muscles strong as well is a big part of that recovery piece.
Let's take a quick break and hear from our sponsor.
Grays Harbor Unders makes the performance-based layer clothing you want and need. Whether you work, hunt, hike, fish, run, or ride in the great outdoors, if you work up a sweat, Grays Harbor Unders are for you, because their unique dual-layer fabric removes moisture from your body and keeps your skin dry, even when the outer layer is completely wet. It's a base layer like no other. Get you some at ghunders.com. That's ghunders.com for the best performance-based layer you'll ever wear.
And we're back.
Oh, yeah. And see, that was the thing for me is, I mean, I've told people, I hate running. I've always hated running.
Yeah.
I was not a runner at all as a kid. That's why when the first time I told my parents and everyone when I was, 30, that I was going to do a half marathon, everyone's like, why? You know, I mean, I was that kid in school when everyone's like, you know, you should play soccer. You should do all this. And I'm like, I like baseball. I run 90 feet at a time.
Right.
If I have to run more than 90 feet, it means I got a good hit. But other than that, you know, that's all I had to do was 90 feet at a time. That was the only running. And I liked bikes. I liked that kind of stuff. But running, it just was never my thing. I mean, quick sprints, like, you know, in tennis or in baseball, those were fine. But a full on, like, running for more than like 30 seconds, I'm like, yeah, what's the point? I didn't want to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, so that was kind of when I turned to running and used that as my way to lose weight the first time. Everyone was like, you're running? Why? You know, and I did my first 5K, and it was I finally understood, you know, what people talk about with the runner's high.
Yeah, isn't that great? Oh, yeah.
Exactly. I never understood it. And I made the mistake when I did my first 5K. I did all of my training on ellipticals and treadmills. And then I went out and did a 5K on a trail at Northwest Track, which was amazing, because Northwest Track's amazing anyway, but it was a 5K. Cool. And it was a 5K there, you know, through the park. It was awesome. But my body was like, I can't do this, because I was so used to treadmill and elliptical, because it controls, you don't have those weird movements because you're on uneven ground when you're running on normal in a trail. So my body did not like that. So I'm like, cool, I need to train outside now. But once I started doing that, the 5Ks, and I'm like, I started getting that runner's high, and I'm like, this is amazing. And then I did a 10K and a 12K for like the first time, I think, or an 8 actually was the first one. you know, the first step up I did from a 5K, I did an 8K, and I'm like, well, this isn't so bad. Let's try 10, let's try a 12, and then I'm like, might as well just do a half marathon. So,
might as well, yeah.
Yeah, so I did, you know, my first half marathon years ago, but, you know, that was kind of the, once I got into it, I was okay with it, but it's easy for me when I have an injury to be like, I never liked running anyway, what does it matter? But,
right.
You know, once I found OCR though, it's a completely different story. Because now you throw the running and then you throw the obstacles and you throw the people and it's like, this is my place. This is where I belong. You know?
Yeah, it's so fun.
Oh, it is. And it is. And I mean, I've talked to other people that are runners that are like, well, I like to run, but you know, and I'm like, get out and do an obstacle course race because it breaks up the monotony. You run for a little bit, but then all of a sudden you're doing an obstacle and you're having to do the monkey bars or you're lifting, you know, flipping over a 400-pound tire or, you know, whatever, you know, and it's amazing, you know, and it just changes, you know, your whole aspect of, you know, kind of all of that. So
it does. And I love seeing people do it for the first time.
Yeah.
Just the look they get, the excitement they get because they found out they can, you know, do the monkey bar or they can push a tire. It's just one of the best feelings ever.
Yeah. And
how, you're like empowered.
How do you convince people to do it?
Usually I kind of, well, most people that I convince are already training with me.
Yeah.
And going out on the trails with me. And it's like, wouldn't it be fun if we did something in between all this running?
Yep.
So, the creativity of it, sometimes like, okay, let's stop and try some pull-ups on this tree or something like that. And they come back from a training and they're just like, oh, that was a fun workout. I'm like, yeah, that's what obstacle course racing is like.
Yeah, let's go do one. Yeah.
Yeah, let's go do it. Yep.
Yeah, see, I've been that one, like, with my whole, like, I've got a couple of my nieces to go with me a few different times and my kid and all that stuff. And usually it's the free races. I'll get a free race, you know, for volunteering or whatever. And because I'm on street team, everything else, I end up with too many free races. And I'm like, I can't use all these. So
yeah.
I'll have some friend or relative that'll be like, you know, I've always wanted to do that, but they're just so expensive. I'm like, here's a free race.
That's true. That is a barrier for people.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's like,
get free races. That's a great gift.
Yeah, it's like, here's a free race. What's excuse number two? What do we got to work on now? So,
right.
Yeah. It's like any excuse, there's some way around it. And that's one thing that I've learned a lot with. And I mean, OCR has really helped me drive that home to myself is for any excuse you have, there's a way around it. An excuse is just another obstacle. You know, you know, I told myself before there was no way I could do the monkey bars. Monkey bars are probably one of my best obstacles now.
Nice.
I have no problems with the monkey bars. But for some odd reason, I still can't do Twister. I can't do the rings or the rig. Those ones still elude me, but I can do the monkey bars every time. So it's
the fixed ones that I don't move.
Yeah. And it's just getting myself to, you know, be able to do the other ones too. So, I mean, if I can get myself through the monkey bars, I was shocked myself at Terrain Race. I made it all the way across those ones. And I was like, oh, it's kind of one of those. I think I just didn't want to fall in the water. So I just like kept going. And all of a sudden I hit the end and I'm like, wait, did I just do that? And
cool.
Those are the best feelings. And that's one of the things I love too, is when you do an obstacle course with someone for the first time and you stay and you're with them, and all of a sudden they do that first obstacle and they're like, oh my God, I just did that.
Exactly. That's the coolest thing. And then once you do it the first time, then you have confidence and it makes the second, third, et cetera time easier. You're just like, I know I can do this. So your body just reacts even better.
Oh yeah. It's awesome. And that's what I love about it, is that the joy of watching somebody else just nail something that they told you repeatedly they couldn't do, you know,
exactly.
And you try and convince them. A lot of times it's mental.
It's
like, can you really not do it? Or do you just mentally keep telling yourself you can't do it? You know, and that's where it's, you know, trying to convince them that, hey, you probably can do this. You just need to just do it, you know?
Exactly. Yep.
Oh yeah. So trying to think if there's anything other questions I had for you. I'm not sure I have any more questions that I can think of.
That is fine. Yeah. Just, what's your next race? What I'm going to see you in Washougal?
I will be in Washougal. I'm actually, technically, I'm doing the Dirty Dash tomorrow, but I'm not. I've been told I can't do any walls and any of that stuff by my wife and, like, pretty much everyone else I'm supposed to race with.
Everybody cares.
Yeah. They're like, you can't do it. You just had surgery 3 weeks ago. I'm like, they said 4 weeks. It's only three, whatever. I'll be fine. But apparently they don't agree with me. So I'm going to be there, but I'm probably not going to be doing a lot of it just because of, you know, I'm still healing.
Yeah.
I am planning on doing terrain race down in Olympia.
Okay.
In July. And then after that, I think the next one for me will be Washougal. And then I'm going to Hawaii again. So,
oh, nice.
I'm going to get all three in a weekend eventually, you know.
There you go.
I mean, if you can do it in a day, I should be able to do it in two, so.
You can do it. Yep.
Yes.
Got to keep going.
Yeah. So that's pretty much my plan. And then after that, I think I'm, Washougal, Hawaii, and then Seattle. And then I think I'm pretty much done for Spartan for the year. And I think me and the family do, me, Amber, and Benton every month had do at least a 5K.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So, I mean, whether it be a road 5K or an obstacle course, you know, race or whatever, we do as a family, we do one race a month. Just to,
I like that rule.
Yeah.
We have a similar one where we explore a new trail every month.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep. We do a 5K a month. Sometimes we'll do like a virtual 5K or something, but we make sure that we get it done and we go out and we actually do. You know, all three of us together go out and do the 5K. And we've got a park that's right across the street from us that we've pretty much figured out from walking from our front door what loop we can do on the park and basically hit like a 5K as we're coming back down our driveway. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's where I'll be the rest of the summer.
Cool.
So.
All right. Well, so sounds like the first matchup we'll have, I'll be in Washougal then.
Right on. I'll be watching for you.
Cool.
All right. Thank you, Sarah.
No problem. Good to hear from you.
Good to talk to you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the BeastNet podcast, brought to you by Beast OCR. Don't forget to subscribe and let us know what you think and what you'd like to hear. You can find us on Facebook or at beastocr.com.